Mark, please, as you know, I've been looking at a series on healing the last little while. This is healing part three. As you know, last time we looked at the topic was healing records examined. And we looked at a lot of records in Matthew. So I'm going to title this More Healing Records Examined. Because that's what we're going to do. The last time what we did, we looked at records of healing in Matthew. And so essentially, we won't be covering the records that are parallel records in Mark and Luke, because we've already covered them in Matthew. And so we're going to be looking at the ones we didn't look at. And as you'll remember, we started this whole series with the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. And to understand that what we're looking at, everything we're going to look at today, and we looked at the last time, is built upon the redemption that Jesus Christ bought for us. And that redemption includes salvation, as we all know, and most people understand very easily, but includes also healing, deliverance, elimination of the separation between God and man, peace with God. Many things are baked in, so to speak, in the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. And if you understand that redemptive work, then when you look at things like healing, it's not like we're looking at something totally outside some other topic. It is built into Jesus Christ's redemption for mankind. And you have to understand that. And that's why I'll keep repeating it, because it is the basis for everything that we're looking at. And we looked at last time, we looked at the records in Matthew, and I'm going to just review the conclusions, some of the conclusions we saw from last week. That we noticed that faith always has to be involved. There has to be believing. Faith has to be involved in any situation when healing is involved. And that's faith in Jesus Christ, or in God, because Jesus Christ represents God. You've seen me, you've seen the Father. You believe on me, you believe on him. You know, so believing in God. And it was not faith or believing in a person's ability to recover from sickness. It was faith in God. Sometimes we notice the person wasn't even there. The person who was being ministered to didn't even know what was going on. They weren't even there. And they were delivered. Jesus Christ, believing or faith, was always involved. And the revelation in this situation was not so much, wasn't to say whether healing was available or should be done, but perhaps while in the process of doing it, certain information, sure, but never to say, well, is it even available? Because that is why we have to remember that it was built into the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. Healing is always available. There's no question about that in God's word. And then we noticed that how the healing was accomplished by words of command spoken to the sickness, the disease, the spirit, or the body, accompanied many times by touch, laying on of hands, not always, many, many times. Prayer was never mentioned in any of the records that we looked at. Today we're going to look at some more records and keeping the same questions we asked last time in mind. How was the healing done? Who had faith or believing? What did they have faith in? Was prayer involved? Who got healed? Were there cases when healing didn't work? Was revelation involved? Those, again, and these are questions, and sometimes some record will answer some of the questions, and some record will have other answers. Not all records give you all the details in these areas, but these are good questions to ask. It's a good way to study God's word is to ask those questions. You understand what's going on. And the final thing, why are we doing this? Because we should walk in the redemption of Jesus Christ every single day. That should be our goal. This is not knowledge. We just receive knowledge and say, oh, well, that was really a lot of fun. No. And we heard it today, you know, in our prayers and things about situations, physical situations people are having or have. Well, they shouldn't be having them, right? If they're believers, there should be no problem. There should be no physical problem with the believer. If the Word of God is right, if it's not right, we're wasting our time. But the Word of God is right. Jesus Christ was raised, and the redemption is complete, and healing is always available. And if it's not happening in a situation, it's not God's fault. Got to keep that straight. We're accountable for what we understand, what we know from God's word. It's not just theory. It's not just words we talk about. This is the truth. And if God's word says it, then that's the end of it. And we have to walk with that confidence. And that confidence comes by looking at God's word and recognizing who we are in Christ. And this is where this healing series is going to go. We're going to spend some time looking at more records today. And next time we'll look at the records in the book of Acts. Next time we'll start looking at the new creation and understanding what we have in Christ to accomplish the same things and greater than Jesus Christ. Isn't that what it says? That's the promise. Don't forget it. Okay. With that entrance, so let's keep in mind as we go through these records, we're going to be looking at Jesus Christ doing stuff. But remember, and you guys understand this, right now, who's within us? Christ, right? Living within us is Christ. We live no longer, right? We've died. Living within us is Christ. That's what the Word of God says. It says that we are new creations in Christ, conformed to the image of His Son, the second, third, fourth of many brethren, with Him being the first. So if Jesus Christ could do what He did while He was on earth, what is possible now when He lives within each one of us? What's possible? See, only the Word of God is what we have to keep in our minds. Not experience, not anything else, but the Word of God. And everything that we have seen, heard, or understood has to be taken back to the Scriptures. We have to understand. It's the only basis for what we understand. Okay. Too much intro, eh? Mark chapter 1. We'll get there. Mark chapter 1. And again, we'll ask those questions. And it's just wonderful to read God's Word together, like Patrick was saying. Right, so you hear what the Word says, and let's not add to it, subtract from it, or change it. Mark chapter 1, verse 21. And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. Remember, that was a thing we saw the centurion last week. He was saying, wow, you know, I'm a soldier. I have authority. He recognized Jesus Christ's authority over sickness and disease and told it, you just need to say the words. It's a done deal. So that was here again is authority. Verse 23. There was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Who's speaking here? Is it the man or is it the spirit that's possessing him? It's pretty clear. Art thou come to destroy us? I know who thou art. Shakespearean guy. The Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. Jesus Christ rebuked the spirit and told it to come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him, and they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, what thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. Now, again, asking some of those questions, how did Jesus Christ accomplish the deliverance? He commanded the spirit to leave. Do we see any prayer here? Did he get aside and start praying? No. He commanded the spirit to leave because he had authority over it. Who had faith? Jesus Christ, right? It wasn't the man. The man, he's saying, just leave me alone. I don't want to be here. That's the spirit talking on behalf of the man. So Jesus Christ went in. He was able to minister to the man and heal him. And the man, it was Jesus Christ's faith, not the man's. Mark chapter 5. You know, it may be interesting. It might be odd to think that it is possible for one person to have faith or believe on behalf of another. But as we've seen over and over again in the gospel records, that is the case many times, is it not? Now, we would like, and this is the best situation, okay? The best situation is everybody has faith. That's the best situation. The person ministering, the person being ministered to, and all the people standing around. That's the best situation. Because even if a person doesn't have faith and they get healed and delivered, then they may not be able to sustain it because, you know, they don't know. They haven't been discipled. They don't understand the Word of God. So it's always best. But you're going to see that, you know, what God has accomplished in the redemptive work of Jesus Christ is very all-encompassing. This is not just, you know, it's not just some little thing where you have to have all the parameters just so and just right. It's not the way it is. You know, here's Jesus, and we saw last week, you know, people touched Jesus Christ. We'll see it again this week. Or they touched him, and he didn't even know that a person touched him and they got healed. You think God's desire isn't for all to be delivered? Absolutely. Have you heard of cases where unbelievers get healed? Absolutely. Causes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. This is not just some, you know, thing to be put in a pigeonhole, and God made healing available to all. Okay, I'll be quiet. Mark 5:1. And they came over on the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. Not a great situation. And when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. Who said this? The Spirit, because it says in verse 8, For he said unto him, Jesus had said unto the Spirit, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And jump down to verse 15, And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the spirit devil, and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. So when Jesus commanded how to get rid of it, he commanded it to come out, and it came out. There's no prayer here. He commanded the spirit to come out, and it came out, and the man was in his right mind. Who had faith? Jesus Christ. The man is possessed. He's wandering around. He's cutting himself with stones. He didn't come over to Jesus and say, Look, I believe him to be healed. No. Jesus ministered to him, commanded the spirit to go, and it was gone. And he healed him. There's an interesting record in Matthew 13. Well, just this is the only time we're going to go out of order here, but this is a record that's used by a lot of people to say that, you know, well, healing isn't always available. And we need to address this one. I said last week that we would address it, so let's address it. Matthew 13. Okay, this is the record where, you know, there he's back in Nazareth. We'll go down to verse 54. And when he was come into his own country, Nazareth, he taught them in their synagogues, insomuch that they were astonished and said, Whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? So they were seeing him do mighty works. Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things? They knew him. He grew up in Nazareth. He went to synagogue regularly with his family. They knew. And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, A prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and his own house. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Now, sometimes people have used this record to say, well, in certain, you know, situations, you know, healing isn't possible for whatever reason. Well, let's remember what we just read here. Let's read the parallel record in Mark. In Mark chapter 6. We're going to read the parallel record. Just to get an understanding of exactly what's going on here. Mark chapter 6, verse 1. And he went out from thence and came into his own country. So this record is about the same period of time, the same record. And his disciples follow him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, From whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? So they knew that he was able to do them. Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph, and of Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. What were they offended at? At him. They did not have faith in who? In him. That's the crux of the situation here. But Jesus said unto them, A prophet is not without honor, but his own country, and among his own kin, and in his own house. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. So in this situation in Nazareth, what was stopping people from being healed? They didn't have faith in him. Wasn't that it wasn't available. They didn't have faith in him. And here, in fact, look at verse 5. Say that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. So all those people that he laid his hands on in Nazareth were healed. So what was his success rate in Nazareth? 100%. Healing was totally available. It was only when they didn't have faith in him to come and say, well, look, that they didn't get it. Now, is that hard to understand? Absolutely not. If this person doesn't have belief and faith in the inside, it's not going to happen. All those, even in Nazareth, who came to him, they were all healed. His success was 100%. Nothing stopped him. You know, and you got to remember, when we look at Jesus Christ here healing, what did he say to them later when the apostles asked him how this could happen? He said, look, he, referring to his Father, God, doeth the works. Isn't that what he said? He doeth the works. So what needs to be involved in a situation is faith. In this situation here, many didn't have faith in him. But those who did, even in Nazareth, all healed. And what was involved? He laid his hands on him. Touch was involved again. Is there prayer here? No. No mention of prayer. Okay. Mark chapter 7. Sorry. I'm keeping it easy. Just going in order here. Mark 7. Verse 31. Okay. And again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came unto the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coast of Decapolis. And they bring unto him one that was deaf and had impediment in his speech, and they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside. Now here, this is one of those cases where you're going to read, we're going to see Jesus Christ does something unique with the man. But that is not initially, it is after he's already starting to deal with the situation. Let me explain that in a minute. And they bring on to him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, so he couldn't hear. So could Jesus teach him about believing? He couldn't hear anything. And then an impediment in his speech. Okay. Verse 33. And he took him aside from the multitudes, took him aside and put his fingers into his ears and spit and touched his tongue. And I was just, you know, I was talking to James more. Just reading that record, it's like, it's interesting. He had problems with his ears and problems with his mouth. He couldn't speak. So Jesus Christ, he couldn't hear him. He was deaf. Just touch his ears, touch his tongue. It's almost like he's saying, you know, I'm going to do this for you. It doesn't say that here. I'm not trying to add to the text. Just it's interesting that that's what he did. You see, remember we said revelation not ever involved to say whether healing is available or not, because that is built into redemption. But sometimes in the process of ministering, can God give you information? Absolutely. Absolutely he can. But that information is not necessary to say, well, whether healing is available, because that is part of the redemption. We have to understand that. You cannot forget. That's why I'll keep repeating it. And you can read Isaiah 53, 1 Peter 2, Matthew 8, over and over again to get that straight, that healing is always available. Jesus Christ took our infirmities and took our diseases and sickness upon himself. There is no reason for anybody to carry a single one. Because if anybody needs to carry a single one, then his redemption was not complete. Okay, so he did this wonderful thing. And verse 33, he took him aside, did this, and put his fingers into his ears, and he touched spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. So what did he do again? How did he heal the man? By command. He commanded to happen. Is prayer involved here? No. And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. And he charged them that they should tell no man, but the more he charged them, so much the more a great deal they published it. And they were beyond measure astonished, saying, he had done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. The man was healed. Right. You see, I'll keep mentioning prayer because there is a false understanding of prayer. Prayer is for things that, let me back up a little bit here. Why do we keep mentioning prayer in these situations? Because you don't have to pray for something that God has already given to you. That is the key to understand that. That's why we'll keep going back to the redemption. The redemption has accomplished all healing that will ever be necessary. And as Jesus Christ was walking here on the Gospels, the healing was being set to the account of something that he was going to accomplish shortly afterwards. But now it's accomplished. It is given. It's like I mentioned last week, you know, give your son $5 and you put it in his pocket. And he says, Dad, can I have $5? He goes, yep, no problem. You got it. He goes, no, Dad, can I have $5? Yeah, you got it. You can ask you 1,000 times, but it's in his pocket. All he's got to do is reach in and pull out the $5, right? Healing is done. It's a done deal. Jesus Christ took the infirmities, sicknesses, and disease upon himself. There is nothing more that God has to do in order to make it available. Okay, let's go to Mark chapter 8. Mark 8, right there, verse 22. And he comes to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and he sought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of town. Again, just, you know, he's already engaged in healing this man. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. After that, he put his hands upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. Jesus Christ ministered to him a couple of times. See, whatever it took to bring deliverance to the man, whatever it took, whatever was necessary. Again, he took this man aside, already engaged in his healing. And if you get revelation or information about a situation, well, God's prerogative to give that to you if necessary. But was it whether you should heal him or not? No. See, there's only one record we read that last week, where Jesus Christ backed off a little bit, and that was a Syrophoenician woman. But after she asked him again, what did he do? She got healed. Right? You ever see cases where, no, not for you, no. Healing is built into the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. And if you ever think, this particular situation in my life, whether it's, could it be sin, or could it be this problem, do you think that those kind of things can stop the redemptive work of Jesus Christ? No, absolutely not. You have to eliminate those things out of your mind. How about the 10 lepers, right? We had that record, 9, maybe, I don't know, I can't remember last week or this week, but 9, 10 healed, one guy came back and thanked the Lord Jesus Christ. All healed. Were they believers? I don't know. People got healed. Don't know who they were. Look at Luke chapter 6, please. That's a wonderful record in Mark, you know, when you think about if Jesus Christ could minister a couple of times, you think maybe it's okay for us to minister more than once to the same situation if necessary? Absolutely. Luke chapter 6. Verse 17 of Luke chapter 6. And he came down with them and stood in the plain, and the company of his disciples, and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem, and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue or power out of him, and healed them. How many? All. Now this, if you'll read, the whole multitude sought to touch him. Remember last week we read that one record, and it was in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, where he said, I feel virtue has gone out of him. The woman that was issue of blood for all those years that we read about last week, 12 years. He said, I perceive virtue has gone out of me. That's when he says same thing here. He said, you know, there was power going out of him. So the power that was there in Jesus Christ was healing these people. And sometimes he didn't even know they had touched him. Isn't that interesting? You think that maybe that opens up healing to be quite available, isn't it? Quite. You know, all the parameters, you know, well, I got to make sure I deal with every sin in my life. I got to make sure I walk holy. Did I read the Bible enough? Will God reward me for something? That's all nonsense. That's not what the redemptive work of Jesus Christ is based on. It's got nothing to do with you or me. Which is great, because I wouldn't want it to have anything to do with me. It's got nothing to do with you. It's got everything to do with Jesus Christ. He took it upon himself. You don't have to do anything except say, I agree with that. I believe that. I agree with God's word. Thank you, God. Thank you for giving me something so many 2,000 years ago. I'll take it. Thank you very much. Right. If you think, well, something get in the way, the only thing that gets in the way of me and you getting healed is unbelief. That's the only thing. Unbelief is the only thing that Jesus Christ ever called out. And he didn't call it out. We looked at it last week. He didn't call it out on behalf of the person that was being ministered to. He called it out on behalf of his disciples. He goes, what's wrong with you guys? You couldn't get him healed. Right? He told the Father, if you can believe, everything's possible. Never, ever questioned the Son. Never. Never said, well, you know, you got to stay sick because you don't believe. Because he could believe and get the guy healed. All they had to do was come to him and say, I believe you can do this. Isn't that the case? Isn't that the case in most of the healings you read in the Gospels? Absolutely. That's why we're looking at them one by one, just to understand what's going on here. We want to get rid of things that in the back of our minds are stopping us from, first of all, ministering to others. That's the whole point of this, that we will actively, confidently minister to others any situation we get. And is it Revelation? Wait a minute. God, we're going to look at it to close today, but, you know, you don't see that. You don't see them praying, getting together. Let's pray for this man's healing for 6 weeks. All you ever see, and this is what we have, right, to base what we do on, right? Immediate healing. And you're going to say, well, you know, sometimes it took up to an hour. I'll take an hour. Right? That's fine. Right? And it doesn't mean that it always has to be immediate. Sometimes it can take a week, months, and all that. But it doesn't have to. That's the point. Because Jesus Christ paid for it. If it takes somebody a long time to accept that, that's on them. But it doesn't have to, because it is readily available. Would anybody here, any of us ever argue that salvation is readily available to anybody? Have you ever questioned that? I don't know. Maybe God doesn't want this guy to get. Does that even cross your mind? Well, if healing is baked into redemption, why would it ever cross our mind for that? Why would it? That's just something we might have been taught or misunderstood. Okay, Luke chapter, where are we? 7, verse 11. And it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her. He had compassion on the woman. He just saw her, had compassion on her, and said unto her, don't cry, weep not. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still, and he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. Now I'm going to ask you a question. Did the man have faith for this healing? No, he couldn't, could he? How about the woman? Did the mother? No. Who had faith? Jesus Christ. He went over to her and said, I have compassion on you. He said, don't cry. And he spoke to the body, said, get up, arise. And the body rose, right? That's it. Is there prayer involved here? No. He just commanded the body to get up because he had the authority over sickness, disease, and death. God had given him the authority, and I mentioned to you, living within us is Christ. Do you have the authority over sickness and disease? Do you have it? Absolutely. Okay, Luke chapter 9. We'll go to Luke 13. We'll skip one. You guys can read it some other time. Luke 13. It's very instructive to go through all the records of healing in the Bible and go through them and go through them and go through them. And think about them and pray in your mind for understanding and ask God for direction. That's why they're recorded. Why would God have so many records of healing recorded in the Gospels if they weren't for our benefit, if they weren't for our learning? Why would he do that? Luke chapter 13, verse 10. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, a long time, and was bowed down together and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands on her. See, you'll see that mentioned time and time again. He touched. There's always many times touch is involved. And immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Right? So no sickness ever needs to be permanent, does it? 18 years. It's a long time. Healed, completely healed. Touch by command, prayer not involved. You know, if prayer was a real huge part of healing and deliverance, wouldn't God have recorded that in the Word of God? Wouldn't he? Wouldn't that be key? If you need revelation to go actually do a healing, wouldn't the Word of God say that? And then the Word of the Lord came unto Jesus or whatever was necessary to be said. But all you ever see is him by compassion, sometimes people crying out to him, sometimes the multitudes that he's with. Always healing, always living, because in his ministry he had said, Luke chapter 4, you can read it, you know. What was his ministry? You know, preach, break, you know, the brokenhearted, set the captives free, bring deliverance. And that's what he was doing. And if God needed to give more information, so he did. But the information to bring and to deliver, you don't need revelation for that. You have a command. Right? Now, in the process of doing it, as we've seen, maybe you'll get more information if you need it. And that's what we see in the records. Luke chapter 14, please. Verse 2. And behold, there was a certain man before him which had the dropsy. And Jesus answering spake unto the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? A setup. And they held their peace, and he took him and healed him and let him go. Simple. Simple, straightforward. No mention of the man's faith. No mentions of him even asking Jesus Christ. No mention of prayer. Luke 18. Luke chapter 18, please. 35. And it came to pass that as he came nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passed by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him, and when he was come near, he asked him, saying, What do you want? What wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. Wonderful record. All this man was saying, Have mercy on me. You know, have mercy on me. And he said, Well, what do you want me to do for you? Well, that I should be healed. He goes, okay. And he said, receive thy sight. Again, a command, receive your sight. Thy faith had made thee whole, has saved thee. What faith is he talking about? Faith in the man's ability to cure himself of his blindness? Because if he could do that, did he need Jesus Christ? He could just done it. Faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said, a faith in God. He doeth the works. It's a very, very simple statement, but boy, is it powerful. Right. Have faith in just your faith in me. They were offended in Nazareth, not this man. He wasn't offended in him. He goes, mercy on me, Lord. He said, what do you want? There you go. It's yours. Take it. He gave it to him. Wonderful record. Luke 22. You know, we have to get some frameworks out of our minds sometimes when it comes to this topic. You know, anything that we've built up in our mind that exalts itself against the knowledge of God here regarding healing, you have to be eliminated. You have to get out of our minds. The only thing that we can base what those... And you can build strongholds of two kinds, right? You can build the bad ones or the good ones. The good ones are based on Scripture. The bad ones aren't. And so if you're going to build strongholds that are, you know, that don't exalt themselves against the knowledge of God, but align with the knowledge of God, that's great. But got to get it out of our mind, you know? Maybe if I study more of God's word, maybe if I do a lot more works in my life, maybe if I show God how much I love him, maybe he'll just extend his healing hand to me and give me something. That is such a lie. That is not what the scripture says. Is that what it say? Does it say that? It has everything to do with what we do and we don't do? No, salvation had nothing to do with what you did except one thing. You said, yes, Lord, I accept what you had. I believe you're my Lord, and I believe that God raised you from the dead. You believed it. Why is healing any different than that, right? When it's built into the same redemptive work. It's not any different. Okay, so Luke 22, a great one. 47, and I apologize, we have to go a little bit longer in these couple of times, but just want to get through the records one time. Luke 22:47. And while he yet spake, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them, and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? When they which were with him about him saw what would follow, they said unto Lord, And Lord, shall we smite with the sword? And one of them smote the servant of the high priest, and cut off his right ear. And Jesus sat the man down, taught him how to believe God, and said, if you do this, this, and this, no. What does it say? And Jesus said, suffer, and he touched his ear and healed him. Did this man, we know his name is Malchus, did Malchus have faith? Does he even know what's happening here? No. Who had faith? Jesus Christ. Who is within you? Christ. Do you think possibly that now, with his exalted position, which we've looked at in some detail over the last year, God's right hand, far above all principality, power, might, and every name that is named, high priest, good shepherd, chief shepherd, and so on it goes, all those positions, the authority that he has now living within you right now, do you think that maybe you and I could possibly have faith on behalf of another believer and heal them? Do you think it's possible? According to what we're reading here. Again, you read the records, you look at them, you think about what the records say. Right? Like I said, best if everybody has it. That's the goal, right? But if somebody needs help, do you think that you have the ability to help them because living within you is Christ? Okay. John, there's only a couple of records in John. We'll look at those to close. John chapter 4. John's the only gospel where the records of healing in here are not in any other gospel. Which is interesting, I guess. John chapter 4, verse 46. So Jesus came unto Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine, and there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, you will not believe. The nobleman saith unto him, sir, come down ere my child die. It's interesting. This guy is a nobleman, but the other guy that we read about last week didn't even need Jesus to come into his house, right? That's why he said, I haven't found such great faith. No, not in Israel. People of Israel needed him to come to his house. But that guy said, you don't have to even come there. Okay, so verse 40. The nobleman said unto him, sir, come down here, my child. Verse 50. Jesus saith unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus spoke unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to mend. And they said unto him, yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth, and himself believed in his whole house. The boy, or this gentleman, this son, wasn't even there. Right? Not even there. Right? Jesus just spoke the word. Boy got healed. Right? Very simple. Again, these records all kind of just same, no prayer involved, command, sometimes touch involved, Jesus Christ's faith always involved, sometimes people there, sometimes not. But healing always, always, always available in all of them. John chapter 5, we're right there. 5:5, and a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. Wow. And when Jesus saw him lie, and this is the man at the Bethesda. Remember the angel comes down and was supposed to trouble the water and all that. Mm-hmm. And a certain man had infirmity 38 years, and Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case. He said unto him, will he be made whole? Now, sometimes, this record has been said, well, Jesus Christ, by revelation, went and picked this one guy out. It doesn't say any of that here. Don't read into records. We've got to stop doing that. All it says here, Jesus knew this man needed help. He'd been infirm for 38 years, and Jesus Christ wanted to help. And does it say any more than that? Don't read into the text. Right. He went to the man. Jesus saw him lie. He knew he'd been sick, and he wanted to help him. Verse 7, the impotent man say, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I'm coming, another steppeth down before me. He didn't even answer Jesus' question. Does this man have faith here? He didn't even answer his question. His only faith is, I can get healed if I can make it over to the water. Isn't that what it says? Right? He didn't even answer Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said, rise, take up thy bed and walk. Command the man, get up, got up. Who had faith? Jesus Christ. Isn't it kind of very obvious to see every time, right? Every time. Who lives within you? Christ. Do you think you could have faith to help people? You think that wasn't the desire that God wanted when he had him die, so that we could all be the firstborn of many brethren? Wasn't that his desire? Isn't that what we should be doing? Isn't that what God has asked us to do? Okay, John. Almost done. John chapter 9. I don't keep saying that, but I think it's worthwhile looking at these records. John chapter 9. This is another one we all know. The blind man born from birth. Born blind from birth. John chapter 9, verse 1. Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? No, it's got to be his sin or the parents' sin. Jesus said, none of them. God, put that in your mind. Stop. That's my version. Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Works of who? God. I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh, which no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Jesus Christ is now gone. Who is the light of the world now? We are the believers, lights of the world. That's who we are. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay and said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. Again, Jesus Christ is involved in the situation, going to heal him. When he's about to heal him, he uses certain specific information to help this man. But never whether it was necessary or whether it was available or not. That's a done deal. There's no question on that regard whatsoever. The last record in John is 11. There's only four records of healing in the Gospel of John. 1141. This is Lazarus. We're all aware of this record, right? You know, we're not going to read the whole record, just a couple of verses. At the end, when Jesus Christ comes to Lazarus after he's been dead, verse 41, then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. This is Lazarus. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, he's praying now, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. Was this a prayer for healing? No. He just said, and why did he even say this? He goes, the only reason I'm saying this, God, is because I want people to understand that you always hear me. I know you always hear me. Mm-hmm. Right? Prayer has nothing to do with the healing, because the healing happens in the next verse. And when he had said this, he finished praying, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Right. Command. Did Lazarus have faith?
No.
He couldn't, could he? Jesus Christ did. Who is living within you?
Christ.
Okay. And when he was that was dead was came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto him, loose him and let him go. Right? No healing. There was no prayer here for the actual healing. Jesus Christ said, I know you always hear me. Must work the works of God. He doeth the works. That's what he said. Got to remember all those things. We're going to close in Mark chapter 16, please. So just the conclusions again, just to review them. Faith always involved. First of all, salvation and healing is within, totally part of the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. Believing is always involved, and better to have believing of everybody involved. But if not, somebody has to believe. But faith, and we'll look at faith in more detail in one of the next teachings sometime, but faith in Jesus Christ or God, not faith in a person's ability to recover from sickness. Sometimes, as we've noted, the person isn't even there. Person being ministered to have his faith is the best situation, so the healing will persist. Revelation, not whether healing is available or not, but sometimes in the process, maybe you need specific information. Healing by words of command spoken to the sickness, disease, spirit, or body, accompanied many times by touch. Touching of hands and so forth, you know, and prayer not even never mentioned in the process of healing. There's nothing wrong with prayer. We love prayer. We've taught in prayer many times in the fellowship. Prayer is wonderful, and you can pray all together and pray for somebody who's sick. Sure, absolutely, you can pray all you want to. That's okay. Nothing wrong with prayer. Prayer is great, but Don't pray for things that God has already made available. Thank Him for it, accept them, take them, and walk with them. And we'll see this in Mark chapter 16 to close. Mark 16, verse 9. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, now when this record takes place after the resurrection, okay? This is after the resurrection. He appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. There's another healing. And she went and told them that had been with him, as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. After that, he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. That's the record in Luke 24, the two men on the road to Emmaus. Remember that wonderful record? And they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. Afterwards, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart. There's a fine welcome back. Here I am again. What the heck is wrong with you, birds? You don't believe? Are you guys crazy? Are you nuts? Have you seen nothing yet? No, it's not a great thing for the disciples, the apostles, is it? Because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. It's a great record. And he said unto them, and he said unto those 11 guys, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, or to all creation. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. So he's telling them, this is after the resurrection, okay? After the resurrection, there's a bunch of records about that, Luke 24, Acts chapter 1. You can read all of them together and see what's going on here. But after he's raised, he's already been ascended, we'll see, he's ascended, seated at God's right hand, given the authority. So this is not just some command to the people in the Gospels. This is to who? We'll see who it's to. It's very much clear in the context. Verse 17, and these signs, so he's telling them that he told them, verse 15, you go and preach the gospel to everybody. You go preach the, verse 16, he that believeth what? What they were going to preach, yes? He said, you guys go and preach, then those who believe what you preach shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Who's that referring to? The people that the apostles, no, it's referring not to the apostles, it's referring to the people the apostles were going to preach to. Right? Isn't that what the context says? Because I want you guys to go out there and preach the gospel. And these signs shall follow them that believe. That believe what? When you preach the gospel to them, they're going to believe what you're saying, and these signs shall follow them. Didn't these signs already follow the apostles? They'd already done this. But now he's telling them, you're going to go preach. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. Who is this command speaking to? The Christian church, is it not? It's not just to the apostles. This is to the Christian church. In fact, we start the advanced class by saying, freely ye have received, freely give. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils. Is that how we started? This is a command to the Christian church. This is not just some suggestion. It's not when you receive revelation to do so. It says, this is what I want you to do. Have you ever waited for revelation to go speak the word to somebody? No. So why the rest of it? Why? I mean, now you might need information in situation as we've looked at, but the command to go and actively carry this out is here. You know, so if someone asks you, well, do you have a revelation to heal? Yep. Mark 16. Is it any different than Romans chapter 10? It's not. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. And if they shall drink, or it should be if they shall take up any of serpents and they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Nothing should hurt you. Kind of interesting. He puts that in the middle of casting out devils and healing. Because if you're ever afraid that when you're ministering, something's going to come back and get to you, this says it won't. It can't. It can't happen. Right. It cannot happen to you. It shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick. Isn't that what Jesus Christ had done multiple times in the Gospels? And we saw it time and time again. He touched them, took them aside, touched them, put his hands in his eyes, touched them. Sometimes the person wasn't even there. That's not the point. The point is, what did he want them to do? So do you need revelation to lay hands on anybody? If you do, it's right here. Here's the revelation. There's some time we've been taught, you know, don't lay hands suddenly on no man. That's referring to ordination. It's got nothing to do with healing. Right? Here, you don't ordain people who are neophytes. It shall not hurt, and they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. That's when he was taken up later. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Because his ministry is far more expanded now because of you and me. Right? He's able to carry it out far greater fashion, confirm the word with signs following, because now he is exalted to be at God's right hand. Couldn't do that when he was here, but he certainly can now. So that's healing part three. More healing records examined. And next time, we'll take a look at some of the records in the book of Acts to see, did they do what he said they should be doing? And see what happened there and see what's involved and answer the same questions that we looked at here. And we'll go on from that to other things. Okay? God bless you. Yeah. All right.